Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Joining us in the third hour of the show. We appreciate you spending time with us. Originally, our guests for this hour were going to be Zach and Nick from the television show Ghost Adventures. We just had them on last hour. They came in graciously to spend some time with us because our first guest blew us off.
Yeah.
Was not able to show up. Brian Riggi or Rahi or...
It's got a great voicemail message, though.
Doesn't matter. He's not on the show.
I heard it like 10, 12 times.
Did you? Yeah. That's a bummer. But that's nothing to worry about because we've got in his stead, Mr. Dennis. I've got a good friend
of us. You've
got
me?
Yeah. Well, no. Oh, we've got so many people want to hear. No, I'm just kidding with you. Come on.
Oh,
Andy's laughing. We've got online with us engineer and creator of the Ovilus and the Paranormal Puck, owner of GhostShop.com. We have Bill Chappell. And I wanted to have Bill on the show, and I'm glad we could actually up this and get him on this evening. Bill, thank you for joining us here, especially last minute on the show. I appreciate you coming in with us.
Oh, thanks, Dave, Tim. It's always a pleasure.
Now, Bill, I want to talk to you about the Ovilus, and I had the chance finally to work with the Paranormal Puck with you this week when we were out at the Queen Mary, and definitely got a taste for what it does. And there's a lot of controversy about these tools, and I wanted to allay some fears for people straight out of the chute. I mean, first of all, when you created this, and for people that haven't heard your story, I want to kind of start back in the beginning with this. You created the Puck more as a goof, right? You people were coming to you and asking you to help build something like the Frank's Box, which is a linear radio scanner, and give them an alternative. And you being an engineer, you were kind of wrapping your mind around this whole deal. Had you had paranormal experiences in your life before that?
You know, Dave, I have had a few, and at the time I was actually working on some different types of EMF equipment, and you're absolutely right. When I got approached about doing it, you know, the whole concept to me was pretty foreign, and I'd never seen a Frank's box at that time, and I got exposed to one, and I didn't believe it worked, and I took the whole thing kind of like a joke, and I've never hid that fact. I've been very, actually not proud of it, but very upfront with people about it, because it has a lot to do with how the device came to be and how it's in the form it is right now, and probably a lot about why I'm even so skeptical on my own website about my own equipment, and why I'm very careful to, you know, the way I present the equipment. But it was definitely a different type of scenario for me. I've always had a belief in the afterlife in one form or another, and I think I've always had a belief that there's something paranormal going on in this world. But the concept of actually communication, not so much, at least not up until a couple of years ago.
Right. Now, when you had started tooling around with this, what made you decide to go with the method that you did for the Paranormal Puck? And first of all, explain to people what all features the Puck has. And I know it's going to sound like an infomercial, but I want people to understand that this isn't just new Ouija board. This thing, it measures, What all do you have? Does it do the temperature? I can't remember if the Paranormal Puck has that.
It does temperature. It does EMF. I break EMF up into component source, so it's got a voltage and frequency for each reading. It also has natural magnetics at the same time. There are actually 9 sensors that make up the readings the Puck does. And the basis behind the Puck was not just to try and work around with ITC. It was also to be a data collection device. The Puck's got a large array of alarms that you can set up, and you can actually even trigger video capture off your PC or audio capture at the same time. And it's got features in the video tools to actually be able to set an object up in the view of the camera and then put an arrow on either side of it. So if you're looking to see if, like, a door moves, or, you know, a ball moves on the floor or something like that, you can set this up, and then you can tell the Puck, you know, if I get this type of spike or this type of drop or this type of temperature change, then it'll actually start snapping, you know, photos of it and actually capture audio, just like if you're trying to capture an EVP. You know, I showed you some photos where we're out at the Queen Mary, and
right.
I did capture some EVPs out of my room, but it was myself talking in my sleep, so you know, it was entertaining, but it was definitely not paranormal.
And if you have questions this evening, too, I'll mention this. If you have questions for Bill Chappell about the Ovilus or the Paranormal Puck, We'll encourage you to give a call, 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. A lot of people, too, are addressing this bill and the fact of what, and I don't know what your opinion is. You know, everybody comes down on the Ouija board because it's, you know, opening up portals to other dimensions and so on and so forth. And is there a fear that what you're doing with these tools could do the same thing to, you know, bring evil into people's life? Now, first off, from my understanding is a Ouija board, the difference is with like Ouija boards and automatic writing, channeling is you're allowing the spirit to use you and communicate through you to manipulate the planchet or to do the automatic writing. However, the Ovilus, the paranormal puck, you're allowing the technology to do the work, and you're asking, just like a recorder, you're asking it to communicate to you through this piece of equipment, so you're automatically making a buffer there. You're not inviting it in to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you take this very seriously, too, because when you... I love the fact that you have a disclaimer, and can you give basically... What's the disclaimer that you give for your products?
The disclaimer is actually 3 pages long, plus
right.
An additional 1-page disclaimer that's on the website. And it goes over everything, Dave.
You say that you're not in any way guaranteeing that you're talking to ghosts. As a matter of fact, the odds are you probably aren't. It's just random words. But that things are going on. And even as the creator of this, you're not quite sure how exactly it works or why it's doing what it's doing, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I take a lot of bad press for making that stand. And I see somebody putting for entertainment purposes only. You know, if anybody's ever manufactured anything out there and ever had to sit down with an insurance underwriter, you'd understand why that claim is put on there. You know, it's not that simple. You don't just jump out and make brash claims.
Even on our events, which we do, I have to put for entertainment purposes only on there because I can't guarantee that you're going to come see a ghost. I can guarantee you that you're going to see the Queen Mary when you come to the Queen Mary, and I can guarantee you're going to see Jay Grant Kirkpatrick when you come to the Queen Mary because they're going to be there. But I can't guarantee that you're going to have a ghostly encounter. I can't guarantee that. And we do it for entertainment, to come in and educate yourself, learn a little bit about this, and hopefully be able to get some cool interaction. We have a quick, let me take this call real quick, Bill. We've got Dee on the line. Dee, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Hopkins, Minnesota.
Okay, Hopkins, Minnesota. Dee, and what question did you have regarding the puck?
Well, I was just wondering what kind of background did he have, you know, how did he get into this specialty of his? Because it just is so fascinating.
Right, and that's a great question, too, Bill. Now, you actually have an engineering background.
That's
correct. And you, can you go, I know this will probably bore some of the people, but give them, because this is important knowledge. What did you used to do? I mean, before you became the puck and the Ovilus guy, what kind of work did you do in the field of engineering?
For a long time, Dave, I worked as a electrical engineer for a large robotics firm, and my job was to head up the electrical engineering department and design interfaces between our robotics equipment and other plant floor equipment. And this was mostly done in large, you know, high-volume factories for injection molding press processes. So, you know, it was my job to make sure that all these machines were capable of talking to each other. I did that job for several years, and then I worked for about 4 years for a semiconductor manufacturing firm, which actually produced lithography equipment for etching reticles and doing reticle handling for microprocessors and integrated circuits. After that, I spent about 2 years before I retired working for a venture capital firm that did acquisitions for military technology, and I spent a lot of time just going company to company that they were working on currently purchasing and evaluating their engineering processes and the technology they use.
So it's safe to say you're not just a guy who had a weekend hobby and was good with an erector set and a couple of walkie-talkies and figured out how to play with these things. You actually come from
that
this.
Oh, that too.
You have that. And did that answer your question, Dee, a little bit more about his background?
Yes, it did, yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Did you have any other questions before I let you go?
No.
Okay.
Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for calling and listening in this evening.
Thank you. Yeah. I love your show. You guys are so great.
Oh, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Bill, so you start breaking this equipment down to create something, and you're doing it kind of tongue-in-cheek, joking, but there's still some serious nature of this because you knew what you were trying to collect, right? You knew what kind of evidence you were looking for.
You know, that's true, Dave. I never expected what I got. And, you know, I talked about that several times. And then the first time I actually worked with the equipment and actually got it finished was at Waverly Hills. I had finished the hardware up and pretty much had a good idea how it was all going to function. And I flew out to attend an event at Waverly and literally finished writing the hardware, software for the unit at the function, just like if I was at one of your events. I was sitting in the very back of this room and had my back turned to everybody, and I'm sitting there with my laptop and I'm finishing up the code. And, I think that, and I've had a lot of people ask me about that night, and had that night probably not went the way it did, I probably never would have pursued finishing this equipment.
So tell people, where did it go?
I kind of thought we'd get something, but not what I got.
Right, and tell people what did you get when you first worked with this?
The very first thing the device said to me after saying the word water about 5,000 times, which there was a programming problem and I fixed, I finally got it running, and the device comes up and it says, "Lake water, Friday night you die." And it finished it off with a nice little exclamation point. And that pretty much shook me. You know, I wasn't ready for that. I was expecting, Scooby-Doo and baseball. Or
right, just
like
random
that.
Words.
And then it is. And the puck is driven out of the environment, so it's just like the obelisk. It's never actually random. You know, there's always something driving it. But I never expected to see the things I saw that night. I certainly didn't expect it to do the type of things it did. We had a young girl that came up to it, and, she had said that she was an agnostic, and the first time she got near the device, it said the word Jesus, and the second time she came to the device, it said repent, and it would pretty much seem like it was tracking personality that very first night, and people ask me this question all the time, and I don't have an answer for it, so, if you want to beat me up over that, that's fine.
No. That's good.
How this happens, I don't understand. Now, do I understand the electronics and the software? Absolutely, I understand those things. But how this device is being manipulated to form some of the things I've seen, I do not understand. I mean, I don't have a way to prove or disprove it. I don't have a mechanism in place I can point to and say this is exactly what's happening.
We've got to take our first break. We'll come back. We've got Joe is waiting online, creator of the Joe's Box, and he wants to talk a little tech talk with you, Bill. So we'll
have him
on the line with you. We're going to take a quick break. So, Joe, stay tuned. All of you, stick with us. We're talking with Bill Chappell, the creator of the Ovilus and the Paranormal Puck, two of the most popular and new controversial paranormal investigative tools on the market. For more information on those tools, check out ghostshop.com. You can order them and have them in time for Christmas. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. We'll be back with more Bill Chappell right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio on your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis, and backing us up as he always is, our own intern helper, Captain Andy Candy Pants. Thanks for being here, Andy. We've got Bill Chappell on the line. Bill is a creator of two of the most controversial and most popular new paranormal toys, tech toys on the market, the Ovilus and the Paranormal Puck. And, Bill, we have a caller calling in right now. His name is Joe, and Joe says he's a creator of the Joe's Box, and he wants to talk a little tech talk. Joe, welcome to the show, and can you explain to us what's the Joe's Box? We know what the Frank's Box is. What is the Joe's Box?
Yes, the Frank's Box was the inspiration for Joe's Box. At the time that I first noticed Frank's Box, he was using AM radio tuners, and he was using junction noise from a transistor to create a varying signal to tune across the AM radio band, and then it was so noisy, especially between channels, that I thought I could do better with FM radio.
Isn't it said, though, that the reason I thought AM was used is it's more of a talk station, so you're going to get more random words. With FM, you're going to get more music and more just crazy kind of nonsensical noise instead of something that can be pieced together into a conversational type form.
It turns out that there's a lot more talk in the evening, plus it's not been a problem.
Okay.
It seems like when you're doing conversational sessions, even though there's a lot of music on, it just seems to select the vocal segments and forms messages.
And again, for new listeners that are just listening, we're talking about new technology in the field of paranormal investigation tools, one of which is called the Frank's Box. Frank's Box is an AM tuner that goes up and down the AMI dial and will never stop on a station. It just randomly pops from station to station. And the idea is that you ask questions or that the spirits can manipulate the sound frequencies to create a dialogue with you. Again, it's been something I've been skeptical on. I've heard it work in strange situations. We just did an investigation we've talked about on the air at the Soap Factory here in Minneapolis with the KDWB morning show, and took them in, and it actually was calling out for one of the characters, Crisco, one of the morning show guys, calling out his name and saying that it was related to him. So that was certainly interesting. Now, you're saying that you've taken it a different way, and you're doing more with the FM scanning. And now, did you have some direct questions for Bill that you wanted to get in on with the Tech Talk side of this?
Yes, I wanted to ask him what he thought of my theory that this information that we're getting out of the talking chip and out of the random selected vocals from radio broadcasts is coming from random functions, such as junction noise or oscillator interaction with tuners. In other words, I think that there's a basic function that varies, and you can go anywhere in the universe, and the same rule applies. There's a random noise or a random oscillation, or you get noise from high pressure air escaping, or wind noise, surf noise. All those things have been shown to contain voices and messages.
Well, Joe, I think you're absolutely on to something there, and I talk about this quite a bit. I wish I knew the absolute answers to these type of things. I state all the time, I don't think we're chasing down one phenomenon. I think we're looking at many different things at once. And, you know, that's one of the most difficult parts of this. And it's one of the reasons why I talk to people why we need a lot of people doing research. We need more people to get involved and try different things. Because, you know, the second someone slams that door and says, no, this won't work because I just think it won't, you know, we miss out. But I do know what you're saying, because it doesn't have to be necessarily a haunted venue or any place in particular to seem to get these kind of things. But the thing I noticed, and I bring up a lot when I talk about this, is that I probably differ with people on the frequency that I think these things actually occur at. I pretty much refer to EVP as a benchmark. You know, you don't turn your tape recorder on and get 2 to 3 hours of solid EVP. In fact, you might do 8 or 10 hours and get 1 or 2 seconds. And I more think when we're really dealing with what's a true communication, I think it's more along those guidelines, at least from what I've seen. I know some people have some different experiences, and I welcome hearing those, but I think you're right. Like I say, I'm just real hesitant to say that it is just one thing. I think it's so many at once. And I also think that the people involved play a huge portion in this. And I think sometimes it's simply just paraphernalia, you know, and I absolutely have to throw that out there. But, you know, I've seen things that are very, very strict, and, you know, there's almost no contention to the question being answered with an absolute response. So, you know, it's always going to be something we're going to have to keep looking at.
And did that answer your question? Yep.
I think it's the engineer's mind that has me looking for a single answer. That it's kind of like Einstein looking for the unified theory. You know, it's just the natural thing that my brain kind of goes that way.
Right. But I do agree with that.
I kind of got a clue as to what was going on with Frank's box from the fact that he got his idea from Stephen Beyond, who wrote the EVP Maker.
Mm-hmm.
EVP Maker uses random numbers to sort vocal recordings, voice recordings or crowd noise or whatever, and sorts them randomly and gets messages similar to the way box works. And if you think about some of the other fortune-telling methods, they rely on tossed coins and shuffled cards, all kind of random function.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what led me to the way that I use in my FM tuner. I don't use a noise source or an EMF source. I use a free-running oscillator that triggers the scan on a FM chip. So it occurs at random times, and the vocals you hear are very brief and occur at a random order, but when you listen to the message, it makes sense. It has several different voices creating a single thought.
So do you believe, do you think, Joe and Bill, that what we're doing is we're tapping into some universal energy that just is out there and that, you know, necessarily may not be ghost in nature, maybe alien or interdimensional? Do you think that there might be more of a case said for that?
Well, I have a far-fetched theory because I'm not much of a theologian, but if you buy into the idea that God created the universe and that time is kind of an occurrence that happens in our dimension but may not be the same elsewhere in the universe, that the whole everything that we think and is planned for us or is done in the future has already been created, and that we're tapping into that information, and that the information is right at our fingertips all the time in the form of random function.
All right. Well, it's Joe, we've got to move on to a break here real quick. I want to thank you for giving us a call and sharing some of your thoughts and theories with us, and thanks for tuning in and listening to us tonight, too.
Thanks for listening to me.
You bet. And Bill, we'll be back with you, and I don't want to talk about some more of the controversial news about the Avalos, people, you know, that are out there making claims about it, and you know, let's talk about that and talk about what the truth and separate fact from fiction on that, okay?
Sure.
All right,
absolutely.
We'll be back with more. You're listening to Darkness Radio, home for Paranormal Talk Radio every week, Saturday and Sunday night from 9 to midnight. Our guest is Bill Chappell. He's creating he's created the Avalos and the Paranormal Puck. You can get more information on his creations at ghostshop.com. They are two of the most popular and amazing pieces of equipment that I've been able to experiment with. Check it out. We'll be back with more. Bill Chappell is the modern man. We've got him here on Darkness Radio, creator of the Avalos and the Paranormal Puck. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness Radio here every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. Our guest this evening, Bill Chappell. Bill, thanks again for joining us on short notice. I appreciate you being here.
Oh, absolutely, Dave. I appreciate the chance.
Bill, there's a lot of speculation and a lot of false claims and allegations about the Avalos and, you know, how you're hoodwinking society. Why don't you address some of these allegations that you've heard, and can you, talk to us about it? And again, just so people know, I've asked Bill too, when you play with the toys that he has, like the Paranormal Puck especially, you plug it into your computer, you've got software, you type in a question, and I ask, how do I know that the typewritten word is not recognized by whatever's in there and it's going to throw out words to me? So Bill said, and he's told me, well, Dave, you could just ask questions and hit the enter key. You don't have to type them in. And I've still gotten just as weird of responses as though I had typed them in. There is no microphone on the Paranormal Puck. Is that correct?
No, right. Absolutely not.
So, I mean, this is, I mean, that's a good skeptical point. You know, people want to know how these things work and how it, how it can do these things, how you can take an ovilus that has no camera, no microphone on it, take it out to a location next to the highway, and when you turn it on, it says highway, cars, you know, horns, lights, broken glass or something like that, and it's able to, like, it knows where you're at. I mean, as a skeptic, do you see how that just seems so strange to those of us on the outside?
Oh, absolutely I do, Dave, and something I've taken to start doing, and if anybody ever, I do attend quite a few conferences in different locations, and anytime if you catch me one and you're really curious, I'm more than happy to sit down one-on-one, and I'll go through the source code with you line by line. You know, I've gotten a lot of people that have accused me of stacking the deck with paranormal terms, first of all. If you actually go through the list that's in the obelisk, maybe stretching your imagination, you could say 20 of those words have a paranormal slant, so, you know, less than like 3%, you know, but there's no form to the obelisk. In other words, I'm saying I don't put anything in any kind of sequence, nouns, verbs, or pronouns, anything like that. The list was constructed, put into alphabetical order, and then listed 1 to 20 all the way down the list until we hit 512, and then sorted, you know, by that type of sequence, and that was done 7 times and hard-coded right into the source code itself. So, but I do understand why people think that, you know, and I scratch my head about it a lot, too. I had a gentleman that had a little conflict with it because he was sure I was doing some other things, and then pretty much called me on the boards about protocol. And I'm going to go through this and explain it to everybody because there is no protocol here. He was concerned that I needed to develop a method or a protocol or a system so the spirits would know, you know, what word equals what value or something like that. And I can understand the logic behind that. But the fact of the matter is the device is much simpler. Here's how it basically works. If the energy level the device reads is 1, it will say the first word in the dictionary. If it's 100, it will say the 100th word in the dictionary. So anyway, that works anywhere from 0 to 512. And it's basically that straightforward. There are no algorithms or no methods in place to tell this thing to say this word and this word in combination. It absolutely does not work that way. And like I say, if you catch me out at one of the conventions, as long as I'm not sitting in the booth, but if you catch me and you want to talk to me about it, I'm more than happy. I'll sit down and make time with you, and I'll show you start to finish how the whole thing works.
Bill, what blows me away is, okay, so each word has a... you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 521. How do the spirits know which words to hit to, and how are they manipulating the energy? In your opinion, as an engineer, how would they manipulate that energy and know what they needed to do to communicate with you?
Boy, that's the $24,000 question. That's probably one of the biggest problems I've had with my own equipment all the way from the very beginning, Dave. And I think you and I have talked about this. From the time I first produced the first prototypes for the Paranormal Puck till the time I actually came out and put it out on the market, there was about almost an 18-month period of time there. And I wrestled with this on a daily basis because I do not understand the mechanism myself. In fact, in the original Puck, the word list did not come up on the side, and it bothered me so much, I finally put the word list up on the side, and for a long period of time in software, I had a training mechanism so that, you know, that literally you could just sit there and watch it pick through different words. And my thought was, well, maybe, you know, if they can manipulate energy, or if whatever this is can manipulate energy, possibly it can, you know, configure this out. I think Jeff Flanger had one of the simplest scenarios for this I've ever heard, and he said, you know, because we were talking about exactly this scenario, and I even expressed to him how much it bothered me, but I think he had a very concise way to explain it. If I set you down in front of a large panel, and I gave you 512 switches, and everyone you push said a different word, how long would it take before you could do rudimentary communication? And I really kind of think it works that way, but with the obelisk, you know, I don't know how this goes. I don't know if it's a learning process, a learned process, I don't think so. I've seen people pick them up from day one and get some pretty interesting things. The first time I've ever dealt with paranormal puck, you know, there was no history behind it, and there was absolutely no learning curve. So, you know, it's one of the quandaries I've got, and I'm very open about that. That's one of the reasons why, you know, when people look at this and then they read on my site, I talk about this. But, you know, as far as from that standpoint, I absolutely do not have an answer. How is this possible?
That to me is a strange part. I mean, as the inventor, you know, we always want the silver bullet. You know, we want to know what does everything. How is it that you can create this, know how it works, know the engineering, but not sure how the spirits or whatever is communicating are manipulating this? I mean, you said that you were thrown by the whole idea of when it started. You were just about as blown away as everybody else on the investigation. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that continues on with you as well, correct? That it's just a strange deal you can't wrap your head around to this point. What more tests do you think need to be done to understand this type of technology, and how often are you updating and twisting what you've already created to try to get those answers for yourself?
Well, Dave, it's a continual process for me. I work on it almost on a daily basis. I think, you know, I've got a project called Reverse EVP that I'm working on currently that allows me to actually create EVP, and the same process allows me to manipulate a hack or, you know, my own kind of equipment, a K2 meter. And what I'm trying to do, and going back to what Joe was talking about earlier, is really pick one methodology and see if I can't prove it out and come out with a concise theory that makes sense. And that's really where I'm heading right now. I'm doing a lot of work on some new products and actually going to go away from EMF and completely go into a whole different spectrum to start trying to do the same type of thing. And it's just the kind of thing that I have to throw it out, see what works, and then try something different. But, you know, absolutely, if I had the answer to this question, you know, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. And that's pretty much the, you know, the end of all of this. It's just like asking everybody, okay, I know I get EVP on my tape recorder. How does it happen? And you'll get 100 different responses.
Have you experimented at all with, you know, we always try to talk to disembodied spirits or ghosts or interdimensional beings. Have you ever tried to just, you know, hold a communication with aliens? I know you do experiment.
Not in particular. No,
okay.
I have not.
Oh, I didn't know if this was something that, you know, I mean, we use the different equipment, and I know that Frank Sumption, who created the Frank's Box, claims that he gets alien communication through his Frank's Box as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if that's something you'd ever tried. And we're certainly, you're going to be out at the Ysetti Ranch Trout Lake, Washington event with us.
Right.
And we're going to give that a shot. Now, one of the cool stories I had out there, I was out there in July with Susan and Kim, two of my dear friends and managers, and we were out. I wanted somebody else to see what goes on here. And at one point, we're in a talk, and these lovely people wanted to go out, and they were going to do this big experiment on orbs out in the field. So we all went out and, you know, reluctantly, oh, more orbs. Okay, great. So I pulled out my chair, popped my chair, set it down in the field and sat down, getting ready to see what happened. I turned on the Ovilus, and the first three words out of this were chair, field, orbs. You know, and I turned it off. I'm like, damn it, why didn't we have the video camera going? So Susan and I made sure that every time I turned it on, I'd have the camera going. So I walked up to James Gilliland, the creator, or the owner, rather, of Ysetti Ranch, and I turned it on for him, and I explained what it did. And then, you know, it's just randomly going through words like couch and father, mother, sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then I asked, I said, if there are any extraterrestrial beings here that would like to communicate, what can we do to make things easier to communicate with you? Now, during the big meeting we had just come from, the spiritualists, the people that were there, said that what works best for them is joy, love, peace, music, harmony. Those are what they believe bring the aliens to us. And as soon as I asked the question, what can we do to make communication easier with us, the Ovilus began saying, joy, laughter, listen, music, understand, remember. You know, and it just went through all this. It was almost the exact same rhetoric that I just heard in this, you know, talk. And it was spitting them out. And it had gone from just saying random words like couch, bed, mother, father, sorry, fell, to suddenly it's randomly knocking off, but all the words that were just used in this talk about what makes communication better. So, you know, we're seeing that that is another way to utilize the equipment as well and try to think outside the box with it. Bill created it and wasn't sure how it would work or why it would work, but, you know, it did. And so you can certainly, you're encouraged to try these things and report back. We're going to take our last break of the show. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio with our guest, Bill Chappell. Bill, we'll be right back with you. You guys stay tuned. We'll be back with more.
Hello, kiddies. It's the Crypt Keeper. Welcome back to the radio version of Hell, Darkness Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Across the board from me, Tim Dennis. Hey, folks, if you're going to be out driving here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, please be careful. The weather is bad. It's snowing hard. It's slimy and slippery and wet outside. So please, please, please be careful. Our guest this evening is inventor Bill Chappell. He's an engineer. He's created the Ovilus and the Paranormal Puck. Bill, I have a question from Ryan in our chat room, Ryan from Orpit. He says, I don't have an Ovilus, but I've heard from people that the device sometimes says something not programmed into the machine. Has Bill ever been witness to this?
Yes, I have, and I've heard it, I would say personally 5 or 6 times, and I get emails sent to me on almost a daily basis where people are sending me things. Some of it, I'll be very honest, Ryan, I think is nothing more than paraphernalia. The Ovilus doesn't have the cleanest diction in the world. So sometimes I think it's just a misunderstanding. Now, in the current version, I've actually implemented the dictionary in sequential order so that you can look at the text list and go back and listen to every single word the device says so that you know exactly what's going on. You know what the enunciation is. And to go farther in that point, I actually secured the rights to the chipset that produces the speech, and I've been working on cleaning up the enunciation.
Great. And yeah, but now I've actually been out with the machine and heard it say things, and then I call you and I say, Bill, is this word in there? And we've had recordings of it. So it does seem to be piecing things together that have absolutely nothing to do with what the words are that you put in.
Well, that's correct. The device has always had the ability to compound or truncate. In other words, you can start with one word, stop, and then complete with another. And that ability's always been there. The way it works, I never thought I'd actually see it with any frequency. But we do seem to be seeing it.
Now, you've actually, the one thing that interests me, too, is that it calls out the name Seth an awful lot, and you do not have the word Seth in the dictionary. There's not even words that resemble Seth, mm-hmm. correct? I mean, what are some of the key words that you hear that are repeated a lot, and even words that you've heard it say that you know that you haven't keyed in?
Well, Seth is one. There are several swear words that keep coming out that I absolutely know are not in there. You know, and I'm not going to repeat those on your radio show.
Right.
you know, that does come up quite a bit. You know, the fat size thing you've told me about,
yes.
I now have got that from 4 or 5 other investigators.
Ah, good. So I'm not the only one. And for those
no,
of you,
you're not the only one, but I you know. Like I say, I always question whether or not someone's actually heard that or heard something that, and misinterpreted it. So, you know, I'm constantly working on trying to clean up the diction on this thing. And
well, I've gone through the dictionary and the listing that you've given me, and I can't even find words that might be like, you know, ley lines that it sounds like. And I joke around because I've turned it on a few times when I'm sitting at my couch where I do most of my work. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of my work from home, and I'll turn it on, and it'll say, couch, sit, fat thighs. And I curse at the stupid thing every time it does that. Hey, how dare you? I got feelings, you know. But, yeah, a lot of people have heard that, and they'll hear it. It almost seems like some words are keyed around people because I've been in locations where somebody else's Ovilus is there and it's never said it, and I walk past the Ovilus, and it'll actually call out fat thighs,
mm-hmm.
which is hurtful, Bill, and I'm going to need some money for treatment on that if you can help. Counseling.
Absolutely. No, it's in my fact, I was just answering that in the chat room. Somebody says it could be a programmer screwing around. I'm the only person that programs this thing. And, you know, like I say, if anybody ever wants to question how it's done, I have copies of every single version of the source code, and I am willing to go line by line with anybody that wants to look at. So, you know, I don't play those kind of games. There's no reason to.
Now, Bill, what other mentioned quickly here. We've got about 3-4 minutes left on the show. What other items do you have available right now, and what can people find on the websites? And do you recommend your own product for paranormal investigations? What do you really think of the Ovilus and the paranormal puck for yourself?
I use the puck quite a bit. The Ovilus, I built as to have a handheld device. You know, it always seems like you go into that investigation where you're up in attic or for whatever reason in some kind of nasty old basement and or out somewhere where a PC is not practical. But, I recommend everybody use everything. I don't see this stuff as being replacing anything. I recommend you have a good EMF meter, a good flashlight, a compass, a tape recorder, all the standard things that ghost hunters use. I use a K2 meter myself also. I have, a ghost meter. I have a couple different types of EMF meters. And, I built it as a supplement, not a replacement.
Do you think with the advent of all the technology that's coming out, do you see that there's going to be something you think we're going to be able to bridge this strange little gap between the living and the dead, or this universe and the next, or this parallel line in the next? Do you think that that's something that we might see happen here in the next couple of years?
That's difficult to say, Dave. I'm not sure. So far as what we're even seeing, I'm not sure what it is. And as far as when I talk about it, is the phenomenon paranormal? As far as I understand, standing goes, yes, I believe it to be, but I'm not even sure it's not a fabrication out of our own minds. I'm still, the jury's out with me whether this isn't just some kind of very elaborate PK that the user itself is producing. So I'm not sure. I'd like to say yes. I know I keep working on new things. I know there's several people working on it, and hopefully one of us will stumble across it, and I shouldn't put it that way. By diligent research, one of them could probably possibly find the answer. But is it a year away, 2 years away? I don't know. I always hear grumbling out there, people hinting that, there's the new great thing coming out. But I haven't seen it yet. I certainly hope so.
All right. Well, Bill, thank you very much for spending time with us here this evening. If you guys have questions for Bill regarding the equipment, you'd like to separate fact from fiction from a lot of the BS that's being slung around on the internet, Bill's very approachable. How can they email you, Bill?
You can reach me at bill@chap.com, and that's just chapp.com, or you can go to ghostshop.com and hit contact us, or at digitaldowsing.com and reach me that way.
Right, and there's ways to contact Bill there with any questions you have regarding any of this. And one of the fun things, we've got about a minute left, one of the fun things we just did at the Queen Mary, Bill had taken the puck into the pool area. And, we're known that there are two little girl ghosts supposedly that haunt the area, Sarah and Jackie. And Bill had typed in, how many kids are here? And it came back and typed in the word two, T-W-O. Then it said kid equals, which to me is very interesting for that. And then we were trying to reach out to Peter James, the psychic who was aboard the Queen Mary for so many years. And he asked, is Peter James here? And it says couldn't. And then when you asked for clarification, it said dead, period. And that was it. And when you see stuff like that, does that seem pretty profound to you, that it's not just random words that just happen to come up at that question?
It does at face value, Dave. And like I say, when I work with a puck, even a contextual answer is not the only litmus test. I go back and I'll take the actual log files for the period of time it's running, and I'll do a statistical analysis. What I'm looking for is what the deviations are, and I'll actually go back and see if there's another reason. In other words, not only is it contextual, but did something change enough to make me believe that what I'm seeing is an event more than just the ambient jitter in the environment? So,
well, Bill,
I haven't got a chance to go back and look through those yet. We just got back on Friday. Yeah. So.
Well, continued success and luck with that. You know that we're in your court. Love your equipment. Think you've got a great mind for the stuff. Look forward to seeing you on Children of the Grave 2 and The Possessed from the Sci-Fi Channel. And keep us in mind when you have new stuff popping up. Okay, Bill?
I appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you all for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We appreciate you spending your weekend evenings with Tim and I. We'll be back again next week with brand new shows right here on your home for the paranormal.